And three, and two, and one. What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Crease tonight?
Hey, the House of Crease tonight, we have a very special guest. We met him at TechSoma, Mr. Rob Bevan. He'll be talking to us. He's a traditional painter in a digital age. Plus, are you too old to relate? Are we too old school for the new school? We're going to be talking about it in just a few minutes.
Yo, what you say? What you call me?
Let's get it. Yeah.
We are the only show for independents all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your match. Listen to us on the go. Updated every week. Never miss a day. Join the squad. Come on in. It's time to catch the craze. If you are an independent, catch the craze. Making moves on your own. Catch the craze. On your grind in the streets. Catch the craze. Join the movement. Catch the craze.
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. Yeah, you want to do it. Catch the craze. Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man, Vera. And I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. It is Tuesday, March 5th, and we are coming to you live. We have a guest tonight that we met at TechSoma. It was a very good show. We met a lot of good people, and Rob is one of those people. So we're going to be talking to him. Today he had these really cool paintings there on the show. So we're going to be talking to him a little bit about that. Plus, we're going to be talking to him about his organization, Stay on Target, or his brand, I should say, called Stay on Target. We're going to be talking to him about that. Plus, we're going to have the topic of the day, which is you too old to relate.
Yo, what's up with that, bro? What you saying?
That's right. Isn't that right?
But
before we do all that, if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to the channel, hit the like button, comment, share this bad boy out. Let people know we are out here doing this thing.
Word.
Catch the craze.
That's
for
great.
Indie creators. But not brother. How you doing, dog?
I'm doing, man. It's work life balance is a tightrope, bro. You know, I got here 45 minutes ago. I had to scarf down some chicken avocado and tomato mix and then prepare for this show, you know?
Yeah, no margaritas today? No margaritas?
What's up, bro? Hey, what's up, Lou?
No, I
have Sutter Home. I have little bottles of Sutter Home. The one from the convention. Remember when we were at the convention and bought that pack? I actually finally caught up to it. So these little things go a long way. And, they get me in the mood, in the spirit tonight, bro. So it's like having just a glass of wine. This one bottle is a glass of wine. So this is perfect.
Oh, man. I don't know what you're glitching, bro. You're like freezing. What's going on over there? Yeah.
I don't know if it's on my end.
Are you guys seeing Sam glitch? I don't know. In the chat, if you guys seen him glitch? I don't know. But yeah, dude, that balance, bro. That balance. Have you been able to get some work done? Have you been able to get
I solved my problem with my graphic tablet, my Cintiq. So what happened was I wind up investing in the X Pen 13-inch tablet so I can draw on the go, right? Because I can't. Shout out to Lou Pons. I don't know how she does it on an iPad, but I can't do it, right? So I got the X Pen, right? But the problem was that I'm using the same laptop that I was using with my Cintiq, my large Cintiq behind me. So the Cintiq no longer recognizes the driver, so the pen tip is not calibrated, and it's all thick, choppy lines. And I was like, so in order for me to use that, I would have to unload, delete, and remove, uninstall the drivers for the X Pen to use that. And it was like, So I was like, all right. I went to Amazon Outlet. Amazon has like a warehouse where they sell, pre-owned laptops. So I got me a pre-owned laptop.
Okay.
And now I have for the Cintiq. And I have a separate one for the X Pen, and now I'm back in business, and I don't have to worry about all that crap anymore. He's glitchy real bad. Am I glitchy? I'm not glitching on the screen. I see it over here.
You're glitching. Yeah.
I'm watching me on Facebook, and I don't see me glitching.
No, but on my end, even I see like you look like you're like, and you're doing like these movements. You're like a robot.
Really?
Like, yeah. You're saying, I'm like, what's going on over there, dog?
Word, because I'm looking at me right now, and I'm you know,
I'm looking at me. Yeah, no, a little bit. Are you glitching again? You just froze. Yeah. You straight up just froze. Right? Oh, there you go. Back.
Really? No glitch for me. See,
you
guys got that Roto Rooter routers? I don't know.
Well, if they're not glitching, it don't bother me none, sir. So yeah, we can carry on.
I'm looking because I got it on my phone right now, and I don't see any glitches. But anyway, so yeah, so now I'm back in business. So I feel good because you know, I can now I'm just creating a network so I can have a shared drive where everything talks to each other. So I don't have to have a different hard drive and unplug and plug and plug and plug. So that's the next phase. It's just making everything talk without having to buy OneNote or you know, use my iCloud. I just want to create a network here where I can just play off each other. Yeah. But besides that, next week is LitCon. I'll be over there. That's in Greenville, Texas. So I'm heading over there. That's going to be dope. It's a one day show. So that says 10 to 4, but it's really 10 to 6. And I'm just getting ready for the tour dates. After that, it's Central Texas Comic Con in April. And that's in Waco. And then after that, Houston for Comic Palooza. And that's in May. And then in June, I'm at Superhero Comic Con in San Antonio, Texas. Then I'm in College Station. I have a couple of more others. I have May 4th, I will be at a book signing at Geek Out Comics. So I'll be doing for Free Comic Book Day. I'll have a table at the store. I'm working. I think I secured Denton Comic X, whatever Comic Expo, I'm working on Bell County. And that should be it for the rest of the year. Outside of maybe I might do something in December. I'm not sure just yet. So, the plate is full for the rest of the year. I got about 9 events lined up. So I'm excited about that. And that's it. Then doing my thing. And then I just want to remind everybody that, you know, Duty is also a comic strip published by A Kid in a Comic. So if you haven't visited akidinacomic.com, go ahead and check them out. akidinacomic.com, where Duty is there as a comic strip, along with a bunch of other fantastic stories and by amazing creators in the industry, both veterans and newbies. So it's pretty dope. How about you, brother?
So at the end of the month, what up, Michael? At the end of the month, I will be with my buddy, Mr. Jonathan Syfax.
Johnny!
Will probably come out. Yeah, we're going to be going to Zenkai Con. It's like an anime comic convention in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So I'll be out there from the 22nd to the 24th. We're just going to be walking the floor and kind of hanging out. And then from there in April, I'm going to be going out to C2E2. Again, just kind of hanging out, walking the floor, seeing what that's all about. Never been to that convention in Chicago. So I'm looking forward to it, see what that's all about. I think the last time I did a convention in Chicago was Wizard World. Remember Wizard World way back in the day?
Yeah.
We went out there. Before they were Fan Fest, they were Wizard Worlds.
Yeah.
And so that was the last
time. Wizard World Chicago with you, and I did Wizard World Chicago with Robert Garrett.
Yeah, the one that we did, we were by the bathroom, remember?
Bad
spot.
We were by the bathroom, and we were by adult content.
Yeah. It was not a good spot.
We had some ladies of the evening there.
Yes, we did. So that's going to be going on. And then don't forget this spring, pre-order your Rust 5377, the 25th anniversary edition. That is coming out through ASAP Imagination, the Anyone World. Big shout out to them for doing this. Pre-order the book. Go to anyoneworld.com and you can pre-order it there. You can also go to my website. Scroll down on my website. The very first link will take you right to the pre-order page. So pre-order that bad boy. That's coming out. And then, you know, throughout the year, I'll be at, you know, Baltimore Comic Con. I'll be doing a whole bunch of stuff. But as the dates get closer, we'll talk a little bit more about that. That's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward. I'm trying to do a convention a month, even if it's just to go and hang out, just to, you know, be in that environment. You know what I mean?
No, I'm actually thinking what my booth is going to look like for the bigger shows, potentially for Comic Palooza in Houston. I'm thinking of having a canopy. with my brand, with my graphics on the canopy, like almost like, you know, like you're walking into a store. So I'm thinking about that. So it looks like a shop, a storefront. I'm actually conceptualizing what that would look like now.
Yeah. Well, man, I can't wait to see what you roll up in there with. Because just for what you have, bro,
you know, me.
Like, damn.
Yeah, I'm always thinking next step. Because some of these shows that I'm doing this year are big. And I was like, yo, I got to stand out, bro.
Nah, yeah. Well, yeah. No, I mean, I remember when you picked me up at the airport, bro. I was like, where am I going to put my luggage?
Yeah, you see all the stuff back, I roll with?
The whole back of the car was full, bro. I was he said, it's like a spaceship.
I'm a traveling circus, bro.
I'm a traveling circus.
It's like,
yeah. No. But you know what? That we were talking about this last week. You just don't know what's going to sell.
Yes, really, I'm thinking about that. So I'm working on that stuff. Because like one of the things I was thinking about is having a UFO hovering with green lights illuminating over me. So there's like a lot of things I'm trying to figure out, bro.
Yeah, no. Like, well, what I was saying was you don't know what's going to sell. So you got to bring all that stuff. You know
what I mean?
You got to
bring all that stuff, bro.
Your stuff is full because like at this show, right? What was selling? You know, stickers.
Prints,
specific prints, specific stickers. So you don't know. You don't know. So you bring it all. You bring it all and see what happens.
You got something for everybody, man.
Yeah, you got to have something
for everybody. I got something for you, and I got something for you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You just never know. You never know,
bro.
Yeah, man. For real. But yeah, no, definitely check out the stuff that we're doing. And what we got this year? We got what else we got going on this year?
Oh, we got the crew coming back in April.
That's right.
We got Pollos. We got Johnny Syfax. We're doing a reunion show in April, so that's gonna be dope.
Yeah, it'll be the anniversary of when we met Aníbal.
Yeah.
To the day, April 17th.
How many years?
20 years ago. 20 years,
bro.
20 years ago, we met Mr. Aníbal.
Yeah, I was looking at pictures from back then. We were a bunch of wet behind the ears youngins thinking we knew everything, bro.
Yes.
Yes,
we were. It was crazy, bro. It was crazy.
We were like ready to rule the world, bro. No one could stop it, bro. It was like we were in beast mode at that time.
Yeah.
So nobody was out grinding us back then. We were hustling.
Listen.
We will hustle.
The industry will humble you. That's
yes,
the whole
thing. It's like when we're playing in the little kid sandbox, we're rocking. We got everybody. It's like, God, mush. Get out of here, mush. But then once we got in the big leagues, we got mushed. It was like, what the hell?
Slow down, kids. Slow down, kids.
Do the mushing. It's like, yo, what's up with this?
We had fun, though. We had fun. The trips to, you know, we'll talk about some of the stuff that you know, that we were able to do back then when we were in the midst of
yeah, one day I'm going to the archives. I'm gonna make a video, a vlogumentary of when we were crossing the roads in that highway trying to get to the hotel. Yeah, it was like
with boxes, with boxes, man.
Yeah. Crazy stuff, bro.
Yes, yeah, that was in San Diego, right? Because we were like,
San Diego,
we stayed a few miles away.
We thought we were gonna save money, and we were like a couple miles from the train station, and we had to hike. It was like, what the hell?
It happens. It happens, bro. It happens. But yeah, man, that was the good old days. The good old days. Speaking of the good old days, are we getting too old, Sam? What do we talk about? A little get your meds.
Speak for yourself.
It's time for your medicine.
Are you too old for the new school? Oh, yeah, man. It's just another case of that OPTA. I don't know, bro. It's
it's been a minute. Now, okay, so we were talking about that, yesterday in the morning. You had mentioned something like that.
Yes.
But, and I think your take on it, I want to hear your take on why you decided, let's talk about that today. What was it? What was it that sparked the idea to talk about
it? So, you know, it's funny. I was having a conversation with my wife, right? And my wife was saying, when I was younger, in my time, right? And then it clicked. I said, oh, it's not relevant because situations were different. Influences were different. Access was different. Information was different, right? So in your time, it was the thing to do because there was no social media, all this other stuff, whatever. So it doesn't relate. That's why this generation can't relate to the older generation. Like, I don't want to hear it because I can't relate, right? So then it sparked the conversation about, you know, when you think about the content that's out there, if you're an adult creating content for kids, can they relate, or are you so far removed because you're still holding on to what influenced you without recognizing what influences them? And are you not connecting the dots with today to make it relevant? Right. Yeah. So I think that was the thing. So we were talking about why there's so much adult content, especially on crowdfunding versus kids content, or why some of the people that claim that they're doing kids content, they're not garnering the reaction that they're looking for. Is it because maybe you're disconnected, you're far removed?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think when we think about, like, and that's what those images, right? When we think about when we were kids, right? Things change, obviously. I mean, you know, people change, things change, times change. I was reading an article about some movies that have won Oscars, right? Back in the days. Today, they didn't age well. Like, they looked at, you ever seen that movie, American Beauty, with Kevin Spacey? It's like the creepy guy. He basically kind of like likes his daughter's girlfriend, and she's like in high school. Mm-hmm. And like back then it was like, oh wow, look at this like out of touch old man, you know, whatever. It was whatever. I mean, at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, he kills himself. But no, he doesn't kill himself. He actually dies. But but today you can't make that movie. That's creepy. You know what I mean? Some old dude like wanting, I mean, it was creepy back then, but back then it was just like, you know, horny old man type of thing. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. Today you can't do that, right? And so things change. So obviously, you know, comics are going to change, cartoons are going to change, things are going to change. And unless we change with those times and we try and we stop fighting it, we're going to go by the wayside.
Yeah, it's gonna, you're gonna have an expiration date catches up to you. Next thing you're gonna grow mold, right? I just had that thought when you were talking about it.
Oops.
Well, you think about it, right? Generationally, right? The messaging was different back then. Every one of the cartoons ended with a message, right?
Yeah.
You had the after school, Schoolhouse Rock, right? And you had, you know, the after school special, right? You had all these messages at the end of He-Man, at the end of G.I. Joe, whatever. And it's like, you know, G.I. Joe, you know.
What up?
Yeah. And it's like, and now you know, and knowing's half the battle. G.I. Joe, you know, He-Man. There would always be these messages that people can't relate to today, right? There was a lot of things about when you think about the violence in the cartoons back then. G.I. Joe, the creators chose to use lasers versus bullets because they didn't want to show that level of violence, and lasers are fancy, like science fiction. So it doesn't create that. No one ever got killed, right? It was a lot of explosions and stuff. No one ever got killed. Same thing, you know, with He-Man, he had a sword, but no one got sliced. You didn't see blood and gore. Today, Invincible, they're going for the shock factor. The more blood, the more gore, the more whatever. So it's a different world. It's a different environment. Today, a lot of the cartoons are very loud, right? The volume is up higher. It's fast paced, action generated. And not all of them, you know, because Blue Eyed Samurai was a great example of great storytelling, right? But that's one in a million, right? So I think the times have changed, and you got to adjust with the time. And if you're trying to target a specific demographic, you got to understand the mindset of that demographic and what influences them today, and somehow touch something that's going to inspire them to want to continue flipping those pages or embrace one of the characters in that story.
Right. And while I agree with you, the issue with that is, like you said, you got to roll with the times, the new generation, right? The new generation likes the gore and the violence in Invincible, you know? So when you bring in a watered down version of a comic or something like that, if you're targeting, say, for example, a teenager or young adults, You got to bring something stronger than what we're used to when we were growing up in that age, right? And I mean, I wish that we could just not have to do that and still be able to get the sales. But how do you combat that, right? It's tough because.
I mean, we've watched it. We've been watching the game for a minute, right? And we've seen creators come out. They come out with a story that they've been passionate about, that is close to the heart, near and dear to them. They're realizing that they're not generating anything with it, so they pivot and they go to either open domain characters or they go to adult content, you know, and because they know that they're going to get the sales from it, right? So they've just changed for the sake of a sale. I think that if you're targeting children, be a child. Remember what inspired you as a child. Children love adventure. Children are inquisitive. Children are goofy, right? Children take risks. They don't look at the world with all the restrictions that we look at it, right? They look at the world with full of possibilities. Why can't I do that? You know, what if that was possible? What, you know, and so you have to tap into that mindset and remember what made you, what inspired you when you were a kid and what were the things that you did? Because I tell you right now, my mom, the stuff that we did as kids was crazy. It was fun, right? But, you know, we thought we were invincible, right? And we took daring adventures and we did all this crazy stuff. And you got to try to tap into, there's an age range. There's a point before they start getting conditioned, right, to society's expectations. When we start, you know, saying you can't do this, raise your hand, you can't speak out loud, you can't, all this other stuff, when they start conforming. But there's a stage in that adolescence where they're the most inspired and inquisitive. And that mind is just looking for to go on adventures and lose themselves in something, right? Which is why they create all these worlds for themselves. How do you tap into that? How do you tap into what when you were a kid, that feeling that you had, right? And I think if you're going to create for kids, you gotta be goofy. You gotta, you know, talk to the kids, see what they're into today and try to be true to your characters, but have some sort of something that the kids today can relate to with that character, right? You don't have to change your whole character upside down, but you know, understand who your market is if you're going after that kid demographic.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of, you know, creators out there aren't necessarily going for the children's market, right? They're going more for, and rightly so, right? We always say this, right for you, right? Right for you. That's what you want to do, is right for you. And I agree with that. I agree with writing for you until you have to sell this thing, right? If we're writing for ourselves, you know, we're in our, well, I'm in my, you know, late 40s, right? So if I write for me, right? I'm going to write for a gentleman in his late 40s. If you write for yourself, you're going to write for somebody in their late 50s. You know what I'm saying? Like, so everybody.
I don't know what you're talking about. This guy's, mute that mic. Where's that mic? Mute that mic. I don't know what he's saying. You know, the words of George Medina are not the words of Cast the Craze podcast. Right?
but all jokes aside. So I think what happens is we write for us. So we write stories that we want to read, right? And what does that become? For some people, it becomes boobs. They just want to see boobs on the cover, right? They want to see the violence. They want to see this. They want to see that. Not necessarily something for kids. But what happens is we're trying to tap into that kid market so that the industry keeps going. Because without them, it's done.
It's done.
Comics are done. Without kids reading comics are done. Because we're going to age out. We are eventually going to be gone. And that's where they end. That's where comics end. So we have to kind of try to bring the new generation in. And I know maybe comics isn't the cool thing anymore. Maybe kids want the tablets. Maybe kids want the TikTok thing. Maybe chat, you know, Snapchat, whatever. Like, I don't know. Do we go and find them there? Kind of like, what is? What do we do? Well, I don't have the answers. I don't know. I just think that I just like to write stories that I enjoyed when I was a kid. I created some of these stories when I was a kid. So that's why they resonate that way. You know, one,
you know, it's funny.
It was young. You know what I mean?
It's funny. I forgot the name of the company. This company that was on the verge, they were just on a decline. They were losing market share. They're losing money, right? They were on the verge of extinction, and they changed the CEO from a man to a woman. The woman came in and she approached it from a new strategy, and she embraced social media, but she embraced TikTok specifically. Mm-hmm. And she targeted that audience with their commercials. It was Abercrombie and Fitch. So Abercrombie and Fitch was on the work going out. Now they were the last, under the previous CEO, they were valued at like under $1 billion. Now they're valued at $4 billion, right? So she did in 18 months, she turned that whole company around because she tapped into the market that they're catering to, right? And they went back to that grassroots foundation, right? And they really, she really understood who the audience is and how to reach them. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think what happens is why you see so many people flip-flop, right? In any medium, it's because they really don't understand who they're really trying to go after. Because then you, when you really have that identity secured, then you have to now figure out how to tap into that and stay committed to that. Because I think what happens is limited attention span. Creators today, you know, 3 months in, 6 months in, they give up and I'm going to pivot. I'm going to go here. Right. But stay the course, really, really, you know, understand who that audience is and cater to that audience. And it's going to take time to grow. It took her 18 months to turn that company around, a new CEO. Right. So from a company that were the society was giving up on, the public was giving up on. Right. And that was a big lift. Right. But she targeted. She goes, I'm not going after all social media. I'm going to use this one social media and we're going to put all our resources there and we're going to make that work. And it did. And it paid off.
That's why I hate the term all ages. Yeah. You know what I mean? We have to target a specific age group. We have to let parents know this is for this age group. And if you have kids in that age group, this is for you. It's not all ages because a mom or a dad and their parents out in the chat. If you tell a parent it's an all ages book and your kid is six, maybe you don't want an all ages thing because you're thinking, hey, this is all ages. My 6 year old's not going to like that. But if I tell you it's for ages 5 to 8, your kid is in that age group. Maybe you'd be more willing to listen to what I have to sell if it's for that age group because it's within that age group, mm-hmm. which is what this lady did for that.
I told her, I said, I'll let you decide. If it's for, well, not only that, but even like at a convention when the woman came up to me, I said, look, I said, I'll let you decide if it's appropriate for based on the age of your child. I didn't know what the age was. So she goes, I want all 5 issues, right? So because I put the power in her court. I didn't lie to her, whatever. I said, I'm not going to make that judgment call because everybody's different, but I'll let you decide. She picked up the book, turned the page. Yeah, I'll take all 5, right? So I think it's case by case, but I think if you're going to do something, do it all the way and really go after it. Don't look back. But I think what happens is we see a lot of flip-flopping and a lot of giving up and changing up and pivoting and going this route. It takes a lot of effort to create stories, right? And it takes a lot of effort to, you know, to world build if that's what you're looking for. And with that, it requires a lot of commitment and really understanding on what you're doing.
You know what's crazy, man? Within the world of Disney, within Duty's world, right? Even within that world, there are age groups, right? Yeah. There are stories for young adults, which I think there's nearly my toilet. It's more for young adults, right? Kids who get that humor, maybe 8 to 11 year olds or 8 year olds and up, right? You have something called, what is the other one? The one with Duty's Monsters, right? Action, adventure, fun. To me, that to me is towards maybe like 5 year olds still can understand that. You know what I mean? It's fun. It's goofy. It's not serious. I don't think it takes itself too serious. Right. But I think that even within that world, there are age groups. You know what I mean? What does Hugo say? You can always say all ages, but specify a target. Alien Mentor, for example, it's for all ages, kids 6, will get a special kick out of it.
Yeah.
Yes. That age group, I think, needs to be in there. For me, term all ages, it's too broad. It's too broad. And I get it. Listen, it sells for everybody. Right? If it's all ages, everybody can enjoy it. I get that. I 100% get that. But I think you have to throw in there kids ages 6 to 12. I say this all the time. When you go to buy an action figure, it tells you what age group that action figure is for. And the reason why is because it may have little pieces that little kids can swallow. So they don't want that problem. Yeah. So they say it's for this age group. As a parent, you decide. You buy it. But we're telling you it's for this age group. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's funny that you said it because we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
Duty does have 2 different age groups that love the project, right? The group that grew up in my generation, right? They love the humor because it's relatable to what we grew up with like Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes and all that stuff, whatever, and Alf, right? You can get a sense of all those influences. But then the kids, they love it as well because it's a goofy green alien. It's funny. You know, he says the craziest things, whatever. And they love it. So there's 2 audiences that actually, what I have is I'll have the adults that are picking it up from them because they'll open up the first couple of pages, read the lines, they start laughing. Oh, I got to have this, right? And then you have the ones that is just good for my kids, that audience. Or the kids go, hey, mommy, I'm interested in that, right? So it's interesting. I really never put an age on it. I just talk to each person case by case, but you guys might have a valid point there.
The other thing is, it's for everyone, especially those who are young at heart. Don't take this too seriously. Yeah. But also you got to remember, teens but accessible. Yo, we were at a convention, can be seen experimenting because of the motivation. We were at a convention and I remember we had the street journal and, you know, street journal is geared for, you know, we think in kids from the Bronx or kids, you know, hip hop heads or whatever. This older Asian woman comes in. I want that book. She wanted it. She wanted it. We had Southside. She wanted it. It was hers. But to the point of the age groups and stuff like that, 6 to 12, I think for me, like that's where like the Wonder Duck stuff is, right? 6 to 12. Because also it's about the vocabulary within what they're reading, right? Because if you're writing something that's too, the words are not gonna make sense to the kids, it's not for kids, right? So that you gotta incorporate that into the equation. It's not easy to write for kids, bro. It's not easy. It really isn't. We're reading Interview with a Vampire. One of he lived those naughty stories.
Yeah, the Fabio books, man. Remember Fabio?
The Fabio.
My mom had every Fabio novel with his on the cover. She would sit there with her bata. You know what a bata is? Yes, she would sit there on the couch and she just read her novel with a glass of wine.
Oh, man. Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Yes, and to go back to Aniba's point, giving up and pivoting can be seen as, what did he say? As experimenting regardless of the motivation. Igging me. What's igging me? Hey, listen, I think that we got to be mindful of what we're doing. I think we got to grow the industry. And to do that, I think we have to kind of like, enjoy, yes, as kids, that they just fall in love with comics. You know what I mean? And kind of stay away from that.
That was my introduction to comics. It was Archie, right? That was my introduction to comics. It was Archie Comics and it was The Digest, right? And so I think we have to have more content for today's generation and we got to tap into that in order to keep that industry going and it doesn't, you know, go into the abyss, you know.
But I think Robbie Rob's waiting.
Man. Yeah, man. So now we're going to bring in our guest who's been patiently waiting in the radio room. So I'm just going to, you know, he needs an introduction, so I'm just going to play this one and we're going to bring him right in. What's up,
Rob?
What's going on?
Patience and everything.
I had to change spots and everything and go onto my phone because the satellite internet in the country kind of stinks, but I'm here.
Speaking of the country, Rob, thank you for coming on, my brother. We met you at Texoma. So where are you? Where's your location currently?
I live in Lane, Oklahoma. So it's about 45 minutes away from Durant, Oklahoma.
Right.
To the north.
But you're originally from Jersey.
I'm originally from Jersey, born and raised. Yeah.
And what part of Jersey?
Right outside of Atlantic City.
Atlantic City. Damn.
Yeah. That's a hike.
Yeah.
It's a hike from New York.
it's 2 hours from the city. Yeah. And then it's like, man. From here, it's about a two-day drive.
You've done it, right, Rob?
Oh, yeah. I've done it like 5-6 times while I was in the Army and everything like that. And then, you know, we just got to do it.
Good, man. Yes. So for those who are watching, this is, and did I say your name right, Rob? Did I pronounce it right?
Yeah.
So this is Rob Bevan, and we met him at the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Rob. Obviously you're from New Jersey, but tell us your short story as to maybe just your, like they call it the origin story, right? Who is Rob?
So I joined the Army right out of high school and kind of just went and did my own thing. I put off all the dreams and aspirations for 20 years while I was serving. And then, you know, now I got grown kids and I got grandkids. So all the stuff that we were talking about earlier kind of related with everything. Like I talked to my grandkids and my kids about cartoons and all that, what we had and everything. But it's been a pretty decent road. I did artwork all the way through that. And then now, you know, I got the time and like, you know, Sam was talking Bell County. That's where everything really started for me. Was I had an art contest, which was more like kind of a popularity contest, but it's okay. And you know, it got me back my creative juices, so to speak, flowing again. And here I am, and I'm meeting good people, and I got ideas on the horizon. I got 3 different comic books, by the way, all different age groups.
Well, so Rob, I mean, first of all, thank you for your service, man. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
And, but you mentioned dreams and aspirations. What were those dreams and aspirations as a kid before you?
Well, so like,
I had to put on hold.
Oh yeah. So like growing up, I had an aunt that always did like Disney characters. You know what I mean? Like I'd always see her do Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and Mickey and all that. And from that point, it was boom, I was hooked. And so now, like I do all those characters, and you know, that's really my first love for art. But man, I love everything. You know, I mean, I'm trying to get and know the younger crowd to do like the anime style stuff, but I'm not really too keen on it. Doesn't mean that I'm not gonna do it. But yeah, it's just, you know, man, it's been crazy. It really has.
Yeah.
You got a fan.
So, yeah.
It's the evolution of beard growth. We're all at different stages.
That's right. 1, 2, 3. I just
realized. got the old man salt and pepper on the side.
So Rob, what made you settle in Oklahoma? I mean, you're from Jersey. You went into the service. What made you settle in Oklahoma?
So I met my wife when I was at Fort Hood the first time in 2000. One, and man, she's my angel. She's my focus. She keeps me going and she keeps me straight, man. So, she's originally from Lane, and this is where we settled. This is where all our family is. And my family's everywhere in the United States. So this is where I'm laying down and calling home.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I know when we were at the convention, you mentioned that it's just the peace that you get out there, right? Like it's just the peacefulness of living out in the country and just, you know, being able to be out there and just be free. It's kind of fun. You love it.
It does wonders. Like there's no noise out here. There's no nothing. You know, it's you just get that calm. And I mean, I could probably listen to music as high as I want and nobody's gonna complain about it because they can't hear it.
There you go. Well, they're listening from Norway. So shout out to Norway.
Hey,
big shout out to Norway. Norway. That's awesome. Amazing. Dang. So Rob, so you're out in the country. You're doing your thing. What are some of the things that you are doing out there, art wise? What's going on in your neck of the woods as far as arts goes?
Man, so I've been doing acrylic painting. I do custom frames. Me and my pops are carpenters by trade, so we make custom frames that go along and coincide with the artwork that I'm doing. So that way, it elevates the experience. That's what like when I went to Bell County the first year, I noticed everybody did paintings, but there was no frames. You know, there was no heart. There was no soul to it. So that's kind of why I talked to my dad and I was like, yo, we gotta do this. That Vader painting that is up, the Vader and Anakin split, that has a all oak frame. Like I said at the con, man, I was like, man, that thing weighs about as much as a tiny human.
Yeah. you're trying to get me to carry it over to the con. I
was actually joking with the guy. One of the guys was interested in it. And I said, man, I'll tell you what, you buy it, I'll load it up in your car. I'll go to your house and I'll hang it up. So that way you don't get a hernia doing it.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful frame, dude. The amount of like detail that you put on the frames, I wish you guys could see. I mean, they can go to your Instagram and see it, obviously. But it really is, it's that painting, right? But around it, you have all of the insignia and the symbols of like the you know, what is it, the empire, right? Like describe it a little bit.
It's so on the top, it says Republic. On the one side, it says Anakin. And on the Vader side, it says Vader. And then on the bottom, it says Empire. So you got the Sith Order and then the Empire symbol on the Vader side, and then the Jedi and the Republic symbol on the Anakin side. And then when I stained it, the whole concept is there's light in Vader and there's dark in Anakin. And the same thing goes with the Republic and the Empire. Like, everybody sees things a little bit different. And so it kind of, it pulls you into that painting, man. And it just, like, I had such a good time doing that. I mean, yeah. Painting is a pain, but when it comes out the way that it is in your head onto the canvas, it makes it worth it.
Can people hire you to do this? Say, for example, somebody's got a painting that they might have done, and they need you to do something with a frame. Could you just do the frame, or do you have to get the painting with the frame?
No. So if they want it, like if a custom frame, somebody wants one, we do commissions. And then what I'll do is I'll sit and I'll talk with the person. I'll draw up like a quick sketch. We'll make sure everything's nailed down, and then I send it out to my dad if I ain't got the time to do it. And he's out in Deming, New Mexico. So he's retired, and he does his thing, you know. He helps me out. And then, yeah, it's just that simple.
How long does something like that take?
So my dad had 25 hours on a CNC machine to do that frame. And then I had another 4 hours of staining and gluing and nailing, and man, it's probably from start to finish, if you're looking at a canvas deal, could take anywhere from a week to say a week and a half. And that's just making sure everything's buttoned up and right. All the tiny little details are done.
Wow, man, it sounds like, you know, like it would cost a pretty penny to ship, though.
So the good thing is like, I love it. My dad, he'll build the stuff, and then either he'll come out or he'll build it in pieces where I can put it together here. He'll kind of dowel it. And then I'll make sure, you know, we liquid nail everything, make sure everything's secure, and then, sand it, make sure everything's nice. And then, like, I got one right now for Iron Man that I'm working on. It was at the show, but it didn't have the frame. And I'm going to do one with that where it's going to be 3D. It's going to have the rivets in it. It's going to have the gold lettering. And then it's going to look like the armor. It's going to be crazy. Like,
and you do that all by hand, right, Rob?
It's all by hand. I take my time. I'll tape stuff off. I got an airbrush. Yeah, there you go. That's the huge one. that's my tiny human right there.
Yeah. The one right next to it is cool too. The one with the Star Wars one.
So the Star Wars one, that's the OG. That's the one that started all this craziness. and I love it because, you know, the front and the back. So my dad built the frame, and it's painted front and back, and everything that's on there, my dad did with scroll work. I was still in the Army when that happened. And so he sent me everything. Mm-hmm. I put it all together. I painted it. I took my airbrush to it. And then, like, we unveiled that. So my buddy Lucas Dooley, he did Lone Star Wars, and man, we displayed it at the Wookiee Walk down in San Antonio, and like three or four people were like, yo, how do I buy this? I looked around, I was like, are you talking to me? Like, you know, and at that time I was still struggling with, you know, the artist block, like not thinking my stuff was good enough. And now it's like, I've done college. I've graduated with my bachelor's degree in computer animation. I'm doing 3D models for characters. As a matter of fact, Randy from Timebound, got to give him a shout out. We're doing his character, the Hawk of New York. As a 3D model, that's cool. So, and that's kind of what I want to develop into. Also, is not only do the artwork, the painting, the drawing, the comic books, but do the models as well. So like you have some kind of visual up on the booth where people can see it instead of like kind of looking at the book, because like I got a thing from Sam from my grandkids and they love Scooby, and man, I showed that to them and they were like, oh! I was like, I know the guy. And so yeah, they you know, and this is something I'm bringing my grandkids in.
That's awesome.
And they love, like, if I'm drawing, they'll be up there and be like, hey Gramps, what are we doing?
Nice. Yeah, there you go.
And so but yeah, I mean that kind of brought me to like my whole fruition of my brand of what I want to do and everything. So
yeah. And you also do t-shirts, right, Rob? You have t-shirts that you do? You have the designs and t-shirts and stuff?
I do have t-shirts that I can get done. So one of the guys that I was stationed with, another shout out to T's t-shirts on Instagram, is he did my shirts. He does my stickers. He does my I'm doing little poker chips as business cards.
Nice.
With the QR code.
They work, dude. I tested one out. You guys had it. It worked.
Yeah. And you know, it's just trying to build the brand and make sure, you know, it's like y'all said, you can't settle for nothing. Like if you're going to do it, you're going to suffer a little bit and you're going to sweat a little bit, but at the end of the day, once it's done, man, it's rewarding.
You have a question from Hugo. Out of curiosity, Rob, are your kids and grandkids, I think I heard you say, also getting interested in the woodworking?
Man, they're 7 and 5, and I keep them away from power tools. But I will tell you, so my wife bought me this awesome little, it was like a, you know, the cheap novelty tool sets, and it's Thor's hammer. And so like whenever I'm doing something, you know, my youngest grandson, he'll go get Thor's hammer and he'll hold it. And he's like, all right, Gramps, I'm ready to work.
Nice, dude. So, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's fun, man, out here. But when they get old enough for power tools and stuff like that, like I do it around them so they understand the dangers of the power tools, and they know not to touch nothing when I ain't around. And it's just, man, it's just so much fun watching them kind of grow up, and they'll draw at the table and they'll show me something and I'm like, all right, so what did we draw?
Right.
And you know, just kind of bring everything into fruition for them, because they're just killing it. Yeah. At 7 and 5.
I got another question from another vet saying, were you ever deployed?
Yes, I was five combat deployments and 2 humanitarian missions. So I'm old. I don't want to date myself, right? So in 93, I went to Rwanda. And then again, I went to Liberia. Man, I can't, if I had my wife up here, she remembers all the dates. But I went to Liberia for the Ebola missions to do Ebola treatment facilities. I have a combat deployment to Kuwait, and then the next 3 are Iraq. I was in Mosul, Tikrit, Sinjar. Man, I was everywhere. Wow. And then my last one was to Afghanistan. So yeah.
Wow.
I've been around and done some things, and
I'm sure. Hugo saying, you know what, I remember being a young grandchild, just spending that time with my grandfather. It was awesome watching him work. Yeah, so yeah. These are things that your grandkids are going to remember forever, dude.
It's doing the woodwork, and we just took a walk this evening out in the back pasture. My wife's cousin brought some horses out, so we was going and looking at them, and cool. Then I came back up here. And, you know, we got the lake down the road, so we do some fishing, go swimming in the lake.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. So Anibal's like, he was in Balad, Iraq camp, Anaconda 2004. Yep. And then he was in Ramstein, Germany in 2003.
I had two deals over in Germany. I had 93 to 95 in Germany. That's when I went to Rwanda for like a little bit. And then I went back to the same company in the same platoon 15 years later. So in 2004 to 2006, we were there. So, yeah.
Wow. So Rob, tell us a little bit about, now that we're talking about this, tell us a little bit about the your brand that you started. The brand called Stay on Target, SOT. Tell us a little bit about SOT.
So I did a lot of, man, I was, you know, Stay on Target is, I used it during college. And I was using Luke's targeting computer because I'm a Star Wars nerd. I love Star Wars, right? And I had Stay on Target. And as a matter of fact, my friend Sean, who does my shirts, he made me this shirt. And man, I wore it. And it was just to remind me to stay grounded and get the things that I needed to get done, accomplished, to just stay on target, you know, graduate, mm-hmm. do the things. And then after I graduated, my sister-in-law got sick. So I take her to dialysis Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And so now my Stay on Target has changed, right? It's not about education anymore. It's about just staying on target, doing the things I got to do. I know I got to take care of my sister-in-law. I know I got to do this. I know I got to do that. But the best thing was I did a lot of biblical research. And I know, you know, some people aren't going to be into the biblical research, and I got it. And that's cool. That's for them. It's for me, you know. Right. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of biblical research, and then I settled on, I have it in downstairs. Proverbs 19:21 is kind of what I was looking at. And it just basically, you know, God's plan for us, our purpose. And so that's why, like, my logo is to stay on target with the heart in the center of the cross for the crosshairs as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's basically like dreams without a purpose are just crap. They're not huh. good. You got to have a purpose behind something.
Right.
You got to have that reason to wake up every morning and do the things that we're doing.
Yeah.
So that's how Stay on Target is kind of working. I'm still in the development. I'm kind of looking forward to, like, I got my brother-in-law involved in it, and y'all met him at Texomacon.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
another
yeah.
veteran. So what we're trying to do is build a strong community in the art world that's veterans, but other people that are like-minded like us. You know, down to earth, we like to have fun. We ain't about, you know, deboing the talent or the knowledge or whatever. I think, like, one of the best things that happened at Texomacon, I had a little 6-year-old kid. He was like, "Man, you ain't got no Grogu up here." And I told his pops, I was like, "Yo, give me 30 minutes. Come on back and I'll have something for him." And so, like, he kept on walking by going, like, doing this stuff. And I'm like, "I got you. I got you." And so I did a little in the Mando visor of Grogu sitting in there. And I had it in my sketchbook, man. I think that was probably the coolest thing next to seeing one of my shirts walk down the aisle.
Yes,
on Sunday.
I saw that. That was awesome, dude.
I ran that's out what... in the aisle and I'm like, "Yo, man, that's my shirt. Like, let me sign it." Dave's like, "Are you crazy?"
We got another question from Hugo. It says, maybe a bit beside the subject, do you find that your in-person woodwork helps with your 3D modeling work and vice versa?
Oh, yeah. Man, going through school, so we had to do like 3D models of everything, right? So my construction background kind of, yeah, I was being checked by a 6-year-old little turd. But he made my day, though, man. He really did. Like, my grandsons do the same thing. But yeah, so like, having a construction background and doing the woodworking and the 3D modeling and everything like that just adds on to, you know, the icing on the cake. Yeah. And then drawing, having a good fundamental of anatomy for, like, doing 3D character modeling is ridiculous. I can't tell you how many times, like, I'll be doing something and I got an anatomy book, like, right there, like, going, "Oh, man, like, I gotta hit this part." It was just, it's crazy how everything is just going and doing and stuff. You can tell I'm from Jersey. I'm talking with my hands and everything.
Yeah, you can take the boy out of Jersey, but you can't take the Jersey out of the boy, huh?
Yeah. No, man, because if you call a pizza a tomato pie up here, they look like you got something growing out of your forehead. And I'm like, yo, it's a pie, man.
Either a pie or a slice. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Two things. You don't say pizza. It's like, if you get a pie, can I get a slice?
Yeah, you go home and you say, hey, let me get a pizza. They'd be like, what? Yeah. So that's awesome, dude.
So, as an artist, right? You know, you're working in a lot of different mediums. Do you find because you are working on so many different subject matters and you're really honing your artistic craft, that provides a balance? Like if you're not feeling drawing, you can go to the woodwork. If you're not feeling the woodwork, you can go to the 3D model. That provides balance.
Yeah. You got to have the problem I run into a lot of the times is coordinating the time. You know what I mean? Like, I always tell myself in the morning, I'm like, all right, so I'm going to designate this time for this deal. And then this time for this deal. And usually, you know, like being an artist, you catch in a flow and you don't want to stop. And you're like, man, I guess tomorrow I'm doing woodworking and today I'm just feeling this. And so you just do it.
Yeah. So JD just jumps in and he says, don't disrespect the slice. And he's from the Bronx.
Never.
He's from Brooklyn. Don't disrespect Brooklyn.
Oh, don't disrespect Brooklyn. He's from the other B.
Hey, one thing I remember, if you from Bronx, don't say you from Brooklyn. And if you from Brooklyn, don't say you from Bronx.
Make that mistake.
You're either Yankees. You're either a Yankees fan or you're a Mets fan.
That's it.
It's funny because I'm from Brooklyn and from Queens.
Oh, man.
So, you know, just don't have the box. But,
Yeah.
So, which do you feel is the which medium that you're working in you feel that you're the most relaxed doing?
I'm never relaxed doing woodwork, man. I'm always, I draw too much and I paint and I'm artistic and I'm always looking at my fingers. Like one day it was this thumb right here, man. I was pushing something through the table saw and I thought my finger was clear and it nicked it.
Ooh.
Yeah. It didn't get it too bad, but you know, me and my dad, we always say it ain't a project that a Bevan's been doing unless we bled all over it. So, I just took a piece of paper towel and some duct tape and taped it over my finger until it clotted up. And
That's it. So, Rob, tell us a little bit about your appearances this year. I know that you're working on getting into West Texas Comic Con. I think that's in June, right?
I'm already in West Texas. That's June 1st and 2nd. That's in Lubbock, Texas. Can't wait for that. One of my friends from Bell County, he does it and he said, man, he loves it. Mm-hmm. So I did that one. I'm still waiting on Bell County to open up their gates and let me in. Yeah. But if I can't get in on doing an artist booth, then I will still be attending. You know, you always say you got to get that foot travel.
That's what I'm doing.
My next one is Cowtown in October. And I think George said that you're going to that one too, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah. So they hit me up. Right now I'm still securing, I want to first secure Bell County first before I commit to Cowtown, because I think I have like between September and October, I already have two lined up. So we'll see. I won't know before about another week or two.
Sweet.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. Like I'm only doing four this year. And then I'm really trying to balance everything, because you know, I would love to go down to Waco because you said you're doing Centex. And funny story about Centex is I had some friends take my son to Centex, and the OG guy that played Boba Fett, which is another one of my favorite characters, he was there, and for Father's Day I got a sign picture of Boba. So
we got a funny story about the young Boba Fett. Back in the early days, when we first broke into comics, George and I, we were at a table, and I had a book called Cosmic Wars, and this young man comes over, and he's like, "Hey, you know, what's it about?" I said, "Well, if you like Star Wars, you're gonna like this, right?" And so the kid looks at me with a weird look, and then he walks away. And then George's like, "Yo, dude, that's the young Boba Fett." And
that's the kid that played Boba Fett.
The young he Boba was there Fett for a signing, and he came over to the booth, and I felt like an idiot.
He said, "If you like Star Wars, I'm in a movie, son."
Man, I'm here to tell you, like, I always told people I will never get starstruck over anybody, but I think there's only two people that I would ever get starstruck over, and that's George Lucas.
Yes.
And I never got a chance, but Stan Lee.
Yes. You
know, Sam got a funny story about Stan Lee, too.
I had a chance to interview Stan Lee, and I got cold feet. I got off the line. It was at New York Comic Con, and I got the press pass, and I was online, and I was next up, and I got cold feet, and I couldn't do it, and I regret it.
Bro, I wouldn't have been able to talk. I'd have been like, a blah, blah, yes. Blah, 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 blah.
I was such a fan of Stan Lee, and that, you know, when I saw him in person, and I heard his voice, and I'm like, I'm about 20 feet from him, right? And I'm like, oh, and then my heart starts racing, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Bro, was that at New York City Comic Con?
Yeah.
Oh, man. you dissed yourself, and you dissed Stan in the state.
I know, man. I was a youngin'. You know, it's funny, because I was like, I was bold, and I was like, but then if something happened when I saw him in person, I was only a few feet, and I heard his voice, and I was like, oh, my God, there's Excelsior right there. It was over. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Like, that is that I'm telling you, Marvel and Disney, like the old Disney, not this new stuff. Not this new stuff. Like, the last Disney movie I watched was,
which one was the last one
either. Big Hero 6. Now, I love that movie.
Okay.
Yeah, that was like the last legit movie. And then, like, we don't ever go watch, you know, normal people movies. We go to watch, like, we take the, like, this weekend we're going to watch Kung Fu Panda 4. Bro, I love that stuff, man. Yeah. Like, but after doing animation classes and everything, it's ruined me on watching any movies. Like, I've gone back and watched Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and been like, man, that's wrong. And I'm like, bro, this just ruined me.
Like technically wrong, Rob? Like you mean, like, well, this is technically...
You see, it doesn't... Like, there's some animation, like the main characters, their animation is really fluid. You know what I mean? And then if you look in the background and they got, like, this tertiary character... It's all glitching and stuff. It was like what Sam was doing early for me. And I was like, man, I can't do this to myself anymore. And then I look at movies in a different way now, because, like, I always look for the imperfections. Like on Gladiator, you see the guy carrying the horse and he's in a hoodie and jeans. it's right where old boy is washing his hands and you can see out the tent. There's really? There's like this one little itty bitty spot in between people and you barely see it. If you blink, you miss it.
But that's, I'm gonna have to look at that. See?
Yeah. I'll have to find out the time.
Yeah.
And then let you know the time. But I mean, and then, you know, I'm throwing these comic books into the mix. So me and George already talked about it. So I really stink at writing. I can draw, but I can't write. You're done. So the one that I got was inspired when I was in the Army from our plumbing class, and it's called I'm going to keep it G-rated. It's it's the crappy adventures of Captain Plunger. Nice. And so it's supposed to be more like comedic, but it's supposed to be a spoof or making fun of Spider-Man and Superman. So this city plumber, go figure, in New York falls into a big thing of toxic poop, and he becomes invulnerable. And so he wears all his gear, and he's got these vacuum plungers that he goes around the city and just swinging around like Spider-Man, and they're attached to bungee cords on his belt loops, and he wears all his city gear to hide his face. And basically the concept is he takes all the butt whoopings for the good people so they could get away. And yeah.
Do you already have it designed? Is the character designed, Rob?
Yeah, the character is designed. As a matter of fact, it's on my Instagram.
Okay, check it out.
I kind of did like a basic. I have one that was the original that I did in the class with the students. And then I redid it again, kind of more prolific. You'll see it. It's got like a moon, a water tower, and he's like on top of the building, like he's getting ready to jump off, like doing almost like a Spider-Man pose. And so like his tools of the trade, he's got these 2 36-inch pipe wrenches that he kind of fights with, but he's still kind of awkward. So yeah, like some of the scenes that I got, like he misses with one plunger, and all of a sudden, like there's these people in this big high rise, and all of a sudden you just see like his face mashed up against this window, and they're all like, yo, what the hell? And
that's going to be fun, man. That's going to be a fun story. But you have another one, don't you?
I got that one, and then I got another one that's kind of like, for all you conspiracy theorists out there, it's called The Boogeyman, and it's six different guys from six different regions of the world, and basically it takes place all the government's conspiracy theory, one world nation, and there's a guy from Japan, and they all wear these different masks. And the reason they're called the Boogeyman is because they're the last things you see before you die. And then, you know, if the government doesn't do them right, then they start taking out people that ain't doing the right thing in the government as well. So it's kind of a conspiracy theory, and it might not be good for all ages. Like this one's probably like rated, R for don't let your kids read it.
Don't let your kids read it. That's right.
Yeah. And then the other one is kind of a biblical one, and it's called Alpha Omega. It's just the symbols Alpha and Omega. And basically the book starts off with like Genesis and everything, and the fall of Lucifer going to hell. And so basically like the clouds open up. He falls to Earth and he turns into a meteor, and it kind of disfigures him and makes like how we would picture the devil now. And then it fast forwards. The rapture has happened, and the people that still remain, angels and demons have made themselves known and are fighting for the remainder of the people on Earth. And so I'm thinking about doing seven books with that, just because, you know, the 7 years of chaos and everything, kind of keep it in that biblical sense. But that one is not going to be for children either. That one, I had an original idea before, and I kind of did it and I lost it in all the moves and everything like that. And so, yeah, it's all going to be just black and white. There's not going to be any color. It's going to be a lot of pen and ink, cross hatching, you know, old school techniques, pointillism, everything. I'm going to try and hit as many of the old pen and ink styles as I can in the different books.
Yeah, so that's awesome. Yeah. Dude, that's awesome. That sounds like a lot coming out from Rob in the next in the next year or so, man. But that's awesome, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get one book. I'm hoping to get the Crappy Adventures of Captain Plunger out. Hopefully draw it, and like I said, you know, we talked, George, and about, you know, kind of doing different writing and all that stuff like that. I'm not a good writer, so I need like three different people. I need the conspiracy writer, I need the comedy writer, and then I need the biblical writer.
There you go, man. Rob, you have been amazing, man. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. I can't wait to see you again at a convention. Maybe come out to the East Coast, or maybe I'll come back out there towards Texas, maybe in October. Maybe I'll hit up Cowtown and check you guys out there. But
come in August. Go check Bell County out. Bell County.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it made Texomacon. I love Texomacon, man. I really did, just by getting to meet everybody. Like, started a whole new connection.
And so, yeah.
But Bell County, that's my heart, man. That's where everything started. And I'm just, I'm blessed to just know everybody that I got to meet and to do the things I'm doing. Cause if it wasn't for the woman downstairs, man, I wouldn't be able to do it. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man. So, no, I don't think, JD just said October, I'm doing NYCC. I am, but I think that was the different date in October, isn't it? Like later in October or something?
Cowtown is, I think, 25th and 26th, or 26th and 27th.
It's at the end of the month. But yeah, no, Rob, thank you again for coming on, my brother. And we're definitely going to be in touch.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, man. I loved every bit of it.
This is good, brother. Thank you.
See you soon. Yeah. Peace. All right, that was Rob. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, you know what? I think the best part of doing conventions is meeting new people and bringing those new people onto the show.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And gaining new perspectives on different things and how people approach different mediums. I think it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you get a chance to kind of get to know them a little bit so that when they come on the show, they're a little more loose, they're a little more comfortable. And then, you know, like, oh man, what am I going to say? They know what they're going to say. So, yeah, no, that was a good time.
It's a fascinating story. I mean, there's so many layers to it. I mean, just to think about the things that he did when he served our country, right? And what he did overseas. I mean, just the Ebola mission, right? So how scary was that, right? The mindset. I mean, I can spend hours just talking and hearing his stories and asking questions about some of those experiences. And then, you know, to come back and then find a passion in this medium, right? I think that's pretty dope.
Yeah, he's a great dude. So big shout out to Rob Evan. His information is going to be, I believe, in the show notes, right? You'll have it in there, Sam, his links and stuff like that. So you guys can check out his Instagram. He has all the frames that he's worked on there. Obviously, a lot of his art you'll be able to see on there. So yeah, check him out. Follow him on social media. And hopefully I'll catch him at another show. But yeah, that was cool, man. That was cool. Yeah. And big shout out to everybody who joined us tonight. Aníbal was in there, JD, Hugo, Arelis, Lupons, you know what I mean? The usual suspects. There's Lou. Already following. Look at that. Yeah. There you go, Lou. Yeah. No, that was awesome.
Yeah. It's funny because we met a lot of cool people. It's the show. It's the first time, right? It was the first time they put on a show there in Oklahoma, where there's no comic shops. You want to go to a comic shop, you got to go to Texas, right? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, they took a gamble there. But we met a lot of cool people there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was a good time. And we were sitting like, it's always nice to have good neighbors around you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So we had Rob.
William.
Yep. He mentioned Ryan, who was next to us also. Yeah. So yeah, no, it was good. And then, you know, Lori was down the block. She was all the way down the block.
Yeah.
We met a gentleman that reminded us of our friend Jonathan Syfax at the show.
Jonathan. Oh yeah, that's right. It was it doppelganger or whatever it is?
Yeah. Yeah. it was Jonathan doppelganger, bro. Yeah.
How is that possible? we also met somebody in my some of Con Coates's.
Yes, Jack Coates, if you're watching me, so you're doppelganger. The funny thing is, the gentleman didn't only just look like Rob, like
he
John,
like
his
him.
Artwork, yeah, yes. His artwork looked exact. I was like, wait a minute, is this
separated at birth? I was like, yo,
what's going on? Yeah. But yeah, no, it was a great show, man. It was a good experience. So I'm happy. I'm actually glad I went out there and hung out.
It came and went quick, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, dude. So fast.
It was crazy.
Nuts.
I just remember picking you up at the airport and then dropping you off.
I was just saying that I'm like, yo, just last week I was out there. I got around and it reminds me of John. There's so many of them. There's so many around. John's got a bunch of them.
I was afraid this guy wasn't gonna leave.
He wanted to come with us.
He wanted to ride with you to New York.
Yeah, he wanted me to take him back to New York. He's like, yo, come on, take me back to New York. He's like, not back. He wanted to go to New York because he's never been.
Yeah,
he was hilarious, dude. Hilarious. But yeah, that was a good time. And that's why I love going to shows. That's why even if I'm not bending, I like to just kind of hang out.
And, yeah, I mean, that's for me, that's my escape. It's the shows is my escape. Yeah, because I get to have fun. I get to talk to new people. I get to see people pick up and react to the work that I've been working on behind the scenes for a lot, you know, long time, right? So,
oh yeah,
I love the conventions.
Oh, dude, that it's rewarding. It's very rewarding. Yeah.
Even ones that are tough, I just love them all.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You never know. I mean, you never know. You whether you get footage for the podcast or whatever, you're always going to get something out of it. You're either going to learn a lesson because you messed up and you did something wrong, and now you know, man, I need to do something else. Or, you know, or it goes great and you're like, holy cow, I got to do more of this. This is what I got to do. I got to do more of this. Yeah. So, yeah, it's always good. It's always good.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yes. So, I mean, lots coming down. You know, it's like in July, we're going to have the handboard tournament when J.D. Rosario gets his butt
whooped. In July. It looks like JD wants to go flip tables in July. That's interesting.
He's gonna flip tables because he's gonna lose. He gets so mad. He's gonna be embarrassed.
Oh,
right? He's gonna be on the floor. Are you that man? Emergency! Emergency! Right?
Yo, next week we have an open. We're gonna do a topic show next week. So really? Right, because I don't think we have anybody next week.
I mean, the Halberer.
Check it out.
Calendly.
Good old Calendly.
My account. Let's see. Scheduled events. Next week is the what?
The third. Oh, that's right.
Next year. Next week is an open topic. Open discussion.
Open. We're gonna be just chilling. We've just been hanging out. So come hang out with us next week. And yes, Aniba, the Four Horsemen is coming. I already told John about it. John seems to be ready to rock.
April 16th, the Four Horsemen of Apocalypse.
Yes. So that's going to, is the 16th or the 17th? 16th?
April 16th, Tuesday.
Cool. So that's what we're going to be doing.
So we have on the 19th of March, we have Lori Cunningham.
Oh, nice. Yes.
And then we have April 9th, we have Kevin Davis.
Yes, Kevin. Nice kid.
Independent comic book writer, entrepreneur. My business name is Caversal Brands.
Yeah.
I have everything set under one link. After that, then it's the Four Horsemen.
Yeah. So yeah, we're gonna have a good spring. John, look alike. That's right. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Yeah. No, but thanks everyone for hanging out tonight. This was a long show. We had a long show tonight, and you guys hung out, so we appreciate it.
Oh, shout out to Lou. I got a comment on the YouTube channel from the segment that we did live together. We got to do another one. We got to schedule another live joint together, Lou. Actually loved the conversation and that episode. So we got to do a follow up soon. I'm excited. A lot of things happening this year. A lot of conventions, wrapping up the Kickstarter, doing all these things, working on the art book. And just doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and I'm excited for this year with the show. And awesome. Oh, what's up?
Cbaz, you're late for your own show. What's going on? No show tonight. Nerds of the Round. Big shout out to Nerds of the Round. No show tonight, Cbaz. What's up? You over here hanging out. That's cool. Hey, you can hang out. I'm just saying, I thought you had
I'm cool. You can hang out.
Hey, you can stay here if you want.
Yeah, I'll DM you, Lou, and we'll schedule it. Off for tonight. Oh, he's off. Wow.
All right. I got you guys. I got you.
Yeah.
But definitely check out The Art of Samuel on YouTube. Check out my channel, Get Your Meds on YouTube. I have a new episode coming out at the end of the week. So check that out. Mm-hmm. And working on Concrete Combat. That's what's up, Sebastian. And check out Sebastian Bonet and his podcast called Nerds of the Round. Cool show where they talk about pop culture and pop all of the shows that are coming out. If they are out there, these guys have seen it and they know what the hell they're talking about. So check them out.
Yeah, I hear a lot of great things about Dune.
Dune. Yeah, they're Dune. Yeah. I watched the first one. I'm gonna have to rewatch that. I want to check that out.
They say the next one is Fly. And we saw The Beekeeper, which was dope. But I'm looking forward to Ghostbusters. Mm. They just wrapped up filming Bad Boys 4.
Yeah, so
and they wrapped up filming Beverly Hills Cop 4. So, you know, lots of cool, lots of nostalgic stuff coming down.
They're trying.
I know.
They are trying.
Deadpool 3. Word. Axel Foley, bro. He's like with a little lemon twist.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how that comes out. Oh, we'll see how that comes out. Yeah, that's right. Deadpool 3 comes out next year. Ghostbusters comes out at the end of the month.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait, bro. I'm gonna go see that in the theaters. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. That comes out the weekend I'm out in PA. I may have to go hit that up with Mr. Syfax. We may have to go check that out.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. That comes out the 22nd. That's when I'm gonna be out in PA in Lancaster.
Yeah, yeah. I did my honorary homage to Ghostbusters. Damn. Coming out with Judy right there.
Bam. Oh, cool.
Yes, right. So yeah, I was having fun with this. Ghostbusters coming out. Let me do a duty with Ghostbusters with Slimer. So I had fun with that.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for being on with us tonight. March 22nd through the 24th, Sebastian, out in PA. So 22nd through the 24th, Ken Icon or something like that. Okay. Zenkai Con. That's what it is.
Shaka Con? Shot Con, let me rock you, Shot Con. That's all I want to do.
That's what I'm gonna be on the 22nd through the 24th. So, yeah, my brother. Yeah, like I said, don't forget, subscribe to the channels.
Yeah, man.
And also, don't forget to, if you haven't done so, yeah, exactly. Subscribe, hit like, all that other fun stuff. Sammy, you got the kid in the comic. That thing is in Global Comics now, also. So, if you guys go to globalcomics.com. You can get the Kid in the Comic on there, which is the comic strip where Sammy has this and then in my toilet. And don't forget to pre-order the Rust 5377 book right now. Go to my website and check that out for the 25th anniversary of Rust. And what else you got, Sammy? What else you got?
So, again, I'm on that tour right now. So I'm hitting that tour this week. Next week, I will be at LitCon in Greenville, Texas. And then in April, I will be in Waco, Central Texas Comic Con. And then in May, I'll be in Houston for Comic Palooza. And then in June, I'll be at Superhero Comic Con in San Antonio, Texas. Then I'll be in College Station for the College Station Comic Con. And then I also have a few other cons that I'm locking in. So about 10 shows this year. Plus, May 4th, I will be for Free Comic Book Day. I'll be doing a book signing at Geek Out Comics, which is a comic book retailer. And it'll be my second appearance there. I did the Free Comic Book Day at one of their locations. They have three locations. So I was at one of their locations last year. I'll be at a different location this year. So I'm looking forward to that. So a lot of good stuff on that tour right now, hitting the streets, connecting with the people.
JT, my bad, son. My bad. He was continuing the Shaka Khan beat. He was trying to help you out.
That's what that was?
That's what he was doing. That's what he was doing.
Oh, yeah.
We missed that one. I won't bore you with the details. Go to getyourmeds.com and check out all my appearances on there for the rest of the year. And we'll be back next week with no guest, just us.
Yes, this is going to be us. We're going to be kicking it. Can I kick it? Yes, you can. Can I kick it?
Okay.
Yes, so we're going to have a hot topic for you.
Yes.
We want you to get engaged and debate with us. It's going to be fun. We love your questions. Keep them coming. Shout out to everybody out there. And don't forget, you know, Kessa Craze, we are the OGs. We are the originators, the first independent comic book comic podcast out there. We are the innovators. We are the trendsetters. And we've been doing this for you, to bring light to the unsung heroes, the people who really don't have that platform, and we want to shine a light on them. So when you subscribe to Catch a Craze, you are supporting all of our guests out there and helping us create that awareness. So we appreciate you. Thank you so much. And thank you for watching tonight. What? I'm available. And with that said, I am Sib the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Gmo Medina.
And we are.
I
was talking about my friend Aquise.
Say my name, right?
This is what you were thinking?
Oh, my God. He described me. He said, I'm the idiot.
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
This is Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.